Chapter 5. As I contemplated how I was going to acquire items for my hawk wife's strange pregnancy cravings, I noticed Nia's bedroom door was open and decided to check in with her.
Hello?
I gently knocked on the wall outside of her door.
Come in!
Nia called out, and I stepped into her room. My wife was seated in her armchair with a thick book in her hand, and her brow was furrowed as she studied the pages. Her white blonde hair hung loose and flowed like molten silver over the back of her chair, and she wore an ice blue nightgown that clung to her curvy form like water. Finally, the ashen-haired mage glanced up from her book, and the look in her brilliant blue eyes made my heart skip a beat.
Hello, my husband.
She greeted me warmly as she closed her book with a flourish. I was surprised by the loud thud of the pages, but then again, my wife was a genius, so her reading materials were usually quite hefty. Am I interrupting? I asked. I don't want to keep you from your reading.
No, it's all right,
Nia replied with a shake of her head, and she set the book down on the small glass table beside her.
I was just finishing up anyways. How's Freya? Is she feeling any better than before?
She's doing better. I started slowly, and I walked over to Nia's dresser. The top was full of tiny glass perfume bottles and cosmetics, and I picked up an embellished bottle and sniffed the contents. It smelled like Nia. A pleasant and intoxicating floral blend of violet and plums.
Well, that's a relief, Nia said. But I'm sensing there's more to it, based off your fidgeting.
I chuckled. Nia could read me like an open book. So I replaced the bottle where I found it and turned to face her. I don't think Freya's entirely up for a girl's night, I began again. She's asked if she can spend some time with me, but she's been getting sick all day.
Poor thing,
Nia responded with a frown.
Should we try and get her some kind of herbs to soothe her stomach?
Well, I drawled. She did ask for something specifically.
What is it?
My ashen-haired wife asked.
I don't mind going out.
Know where we can find some mice?
Mice,
Nia repeated, and her nose scrunched up in disgust.
As in small rodents? Is this a joke?
Unfortunately not. I snorted. Apparently, when Freya's mother was pregnant with her sister, she craved mice and a cup of cold cream.
Ugh!
Nia cringed.
But I suppose that makes sense. While Freya is a human woman, she's also part hawk. I'm sure that comes with some animalistic cravings.
The multi-elementalist mage got up from the armchair, crossed over to her wardrobe, and started searching around until she successfully retrieved a pair of breeches and a loose white blouse. Then she stripped out of her nightgown, and I admired her long, lean legs and her full, pert breasts before they disappeared under her garments. No underwear? I chuckled lightly. Nia winked at me as she straightened out her blouse. The fabric was soft and quite thin, and it showed just a hint of her rosy nipples. I did my best to keep myself in check, but the blouse made it difficult to behave. Where are we going? I asked.
My pregnant sister wife requires mice and cream,
Nia declared.
So we're going to go out and find her some.
Yes, ma'am, I laughed at Nia's serious tone, and once she finished dressing, we stopped by my bedroom so I could put on my boots and grab Dio. And then we headed outside. The dusk air was far colder than it had been this morning, and Nia shivered from the breeze, so I took off my leather coat and offered it to the beautiful elementalist. While you look fucking gorgeous, that shirt can't be warm, I noted, and my ashen-haired wife accepted the coat gratefully.
I was just trying to please you,
Nia said as she shrugged the coat on. It was a little large on her slim frame, but the overall look suited her well. You're amazing no matter what you wear, I smiled.
Jeez! Get a room, guys!
Dio complained from my hip pouch, and I pulled the cat out and set him gently on the ground so he could walk beside us. The saber-toothed cat stretched out and yawned, and the gesture only made his comically large teeth look funnier. Nia and I laughed, much to Dio's irritation, and the cat rolled his round eyes in response. Now, if I were mice, where would I be? I wondered, and Dio stopped in his tracks. Mice? He asked as his tail waggled and his whiskers twitched.
We're looking for mice? Say no more, boss. I can find some mice.
I paused. Why hadn't I thought of that? So with the excellent suggestion in mind, I commanded Dio to stalk some rodents in the wooded area behind the mansion. The little cat monster gleefully took off, and while he was off hunting, I turned my attention to Nia. I think Dio has a handle on things, I chuckled. If you want to go back to the house, that's totally fine.
I don't mind,
Nia said with a smile.
I wanted to spend some alone time with you anyways.
So, I've been thinking about what Aaron and Cyrus said earlier about a honeymoon, I began as we started to slowly walk around our new home. And I agree with them. You deserve a nice vacation away from Varlay.
Was the southern continent not enough of a vacation for you, farm boy?
Nia joked. I'm serious, I laughed. I'm so happy to call you my wife, Nia Kennefic. And I want to take you away somewhere and celebrate.
That sounds amazing,
Nia agreed as her bright blue eyes twinkled.
But I don't want to stray too far from Varlay in case something happens with Freya.
I had that worry too, I admitted. And Nia pondered this for a moment before she snapped her fingers.
You know, there's a village not too far away from the Enclave, tucked away in the woods called Adorna,
she mentioned thoughtfully.
My father has stayed there before, and he spoke very highly of it. Maybe we could find a nice bed and breakfast, or a cabin we could rent.
That's a great idea, Nia, I grinned. I've never heard of Adorna. But if your father likes it enough to give it high remarks, it must be a nice place.
Of course, we'd have to wait until the semester ends,
Nia considered.
Perhaps winter break? That way we wouldn't have to miss out or get distracted from our studies.
That sounds excellent, I nodded. Of course, we'd have to talk to Freya about it.
Or maybe we could bring her with us,
Nia suggested.
We could find somewhere with another room just for her, or one big enough to accommodate all three of us.
All four of us, I joked.
Right,
Nia smirked.
So what do you think?
We'd have to talk about it with Frey and find out if she's comfortable with it. But I think staying in Adorna during the break sounds like a great plan. So maybe we could discuss it with her later? I asked, and Nia nodded in agreement. Just then, we heard a rustling sound coming from the woods, and Dio appeared with a triumphant trot. He pranced over to us, and I noticed something by his chin. Then, when the tiny saber-toothed cat got closer to the light, I realized he held 5 gray field mice in his mouth by their tails.
Got him!
He chirped happily. Nia's delicate features scrunched up in disgust, and admittedly, I was a little unnerved from the sight, but I patted Dio's head nonetheless and thanked him. So, with the mice in tow, Nia, Dio, and I went back into the house. Then we stopped by the kitchen, and Nia filled a cup with cold cream and grabbed a bowl. We weren't quite sure if Freya would prefer the mice dead or alive, so I placed a plate atop the bowl like a lid so the terrified mice couldn't escape. When we brought the mice and cream to Freya's room, the warrior princess's face lit up with excitement.
Thank you, Griff. And thank you, my sister wife.
She squealed, and she happily took the dishes from us. Then she carefully retrieved a mouse from the bowl and placed the entire thing into her mouth.
Yeah.
I turned away quickly, and while I understood my wife was part hawk, I still couldn't stomach the idea of eating live mice.
It's no trouble at all,
I promised as I glanced around the room and up at the ceiling. Nia's face took on a pale shade of green, but the ashen-haired elementalist composed herself and asked Freya for her thoughts on the honeymoon. Freya took a long sip of cream and considered Nia's words.
I do not understand the word honeymoon,
the warrior princess said with a bird-like tilt of her head.
How is the honey on the moon? And how will you get there?
A honeymoon is like a vacation, I explained. It's for a man and wife to celebrate their marriage.
With love and baby-making?
Freya blurted out as her golden eyes glittered hopefully.
That's usually a big part of it,
Nia laughed. And now Freya's face looked overjoyed.
Of course, you must go,
the hawk woman exclaimed, and she put the plate-covered bowl down on her nightstand.
Please, my husband, you must give Nia plenty of your seed so she can grow your child inside of her. We all must make many babies, and this honey on moon is a great chance to get Nia pregnant.
Do you want to join us? I asked. We'd be more than happy if you came along. Freya considered the thought for a moment, but she shook her head.
As much as I love to watch you make love to my sister wives, I must stay here,
Freya sighed.
Our fledgling is too precious to travel, and I worry about being far away from home in case something happens.
I understand, I assured her. You'll be in good hands with Layla and the other girls.
Do not worry about me, husband. I will be all right here,
Freya said, and then the warrior princess got a sly look on her face.
This also gives me the perfect time to discuss babies with little Layla and warrior Ashla. I must convince them to have your children. Layla may not need much convincing,
Nia smiled.
But Ashla might be harder to persuade. I will persuade her,
Freya proclaimed as she lifted her chin.
Ice woman has a strong exterior, but deep down, she wants a child. I saw her face at the wedding when she looked at little Nako.
Maybe we could borrow Nako for a day, I joked. That cute little face could convince anyone to have children.
Sadly, Nerha, Giheim, and my father will be returning to Hartmire soon,
Nia lamented.
And my mother and Navith will be going back home as well.
Nia bit her lip as if she were trying not to cry. So I touched her shoulder gently, and she placed her hand on top of mine and squeezed.
I understand,
Freya murmured and dropped her gaze.
I am missing my family as well.
I have an idea, I offered as I turned to Nia. Why don't we invite your family over for dinner? We have this enormous mansion, and I would love to see your parents and siblings before they go. We could make a whole night of it.
Really?
Nia asked, and the mage's blue eyes grew to twice their size. Of course, I replied with a broad grin. That would also give the girls some time to play with Nako.
Baby practice,
Freya exclaimed, and her blonde hair waved about her as she bounced in her seat.
Our husband is very smart. Perhaps I can convince Layla even sooner.
How about this weekend? I suggested.
That's perfect.
Nia's face suddenly became focused, and I recognized that look and knew the mage was about to devise a battle strategy. This doesn't have to be a big deal, I started to say, but my wife was already going.
I'll send word to them immediately,
she stated.
There's so much to plan. Food, decorations, seating.
The elementalist trailed off, and Freya frowned at me in confusion. But I shook my head at my hawk wife. It was best not to interrupt Nia when she was deep in thought. So Freya took another sip from her cup and watched Nia with a look of amazement as the mage muttered to herself. Then Nia suddenly stopped in her tracks and smiled at Freya and me, as if she'd suddenly remembered we were there.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to figure everything out,
she said, and the blue-eyed mage gestured at the bowl on the table.
I hope the mice helped. They did,
Freya agreed.
Thank you for bringing them.
Nia smiled and kissed mine and Freya's cheeks before she left the room. I could hear her still muttering plans to herself as she moved down the hall, and it took everything in me not to laugh. When we heard Nia's door close, Freya reached out and touched my hand.
Thank you, my mate. I am sorry for my emotion earlier.
Hey, don't apologize, I reassured her. I can't imagine what you've been going through, but I'm right here, and I'm going to help in any way I can.
You are going to be a great father,
Freya purred, and the warrior princess hugged me tightly. And you will make an incredible mother. I held my wife close, and we remained in each other's arms for a while, until Freya finally broke away.
Now that my stomach has settled, I wish to bathe,
she said.
I am not smelling very pleasant.
Need company? I asked with a grin.
Oh, yes. You do deserve a reward, my husband. And I am missing you so much.
Freya smiled back, and hand in hand, we headed upstairs to the bathroom. Once we entered the room, I went straight over to the sunken marble bathtub and turned on the faucet. Steaming water thundered out and began to fill the tub, and I turned around to see Freya had already taken off her clothes. Her pale skin glowed in the light, and I admired her perfect figure. I know I keep saying this, but wow, you're so fucking beautiful, I praised. Freya smiled widely, and her gold-flecked eyes sparkled.
Thank you, my husband.
I stripped out of my own garments, and Freya's eyes stared hungrily at my cock as she licked her lips.
I wish to have you inside of me,
she murmured as she swept her hair over one shoulder.
I have missed you so much.
That can be arranged, I winked. But first, maybe you should brush your teeth. I'm not particularly craving mice and cream myself.
Oh, yes. Forgive me, husband.
Freya blushed and hurried over to the sink to rinse out her mouth. Once she was done, I held out my hand to her, and she took it with a smile. Then we walked over to the tub, and I helped to ease her into the hot water.
Ah, this feels incredible,
Freya sighed as she settled into the tub. My wife's blonde hair flared out around her, and she closed her eyes as she sank in deeper. It looks like you could use some relaxation, I pointed out. So allow me to help you get your mind off things. I moved closer to her, and wasted no time planting a kiss on her lips and lifting her into my lap. Her arms flew around my neck, and our kiss deepened. Freya moaned, and then bit my lip lightly. I trembled at the sensation, and then traced the curves of my wife's body with my hands. Freya eased into the touch, and she pressed herself against me.
Take me,
she begged, and I happily obliged over and over again, until we both stumbled out of the bath half-scrubbed and passed out on my bed in each other's arms. The rest of the week flew by in a daze, and between classes and everything else, Nia kept herself busy with planning for the dinner party, and she enlisted Syra, Aaron, and Layla to help her. The ashen-haired elementalist ran a tight ship, but the girls seemed to enjoy themselves as they prepared the house for the party. Even Freya helped when she could, but she was mostly bedridden, so Nia kept her tasks as basic as possible. Ashla and Arwen still hadn't returned, and we hadn't received any correspondence from them, but I had to put my trust in Sleet and remind myself that the mages could handle whatever they were doing. We would hear from them as soon as they were able to write, and until then, I had to focus on my classes and my other women. My second week with the first-year summoners seemed to improve slightly. Brayden came by on Wednesday and demonstrated some techniques he'd learned from me to the students. As I'd expected, the first-years were taken aback by Brayden's enormous frame, and after he'd shown them some of the attacks, they seemed to accept my teachings a little more. After I apologized again to Tarawin for my actions on Monday, the square-jawed summoner pushed herself even harder, and after a few tries, she managed to properly attach a bullet bass to her Wallerden. Artie and Simon took a little longer, but the two soon triumphed as well. Darius still regarded me haughtily, but I noticed the look of astonishment on his face when he finally combined his monsters together and properly executed an attack. There was hope yet for the summoner, and I figured I'd win him over soon enough. Layla even managed to surprise me by showing up to all of her classes, as she'd promised she would. The petite summoner had found me in the hallways just before class, and made herself my personal escort. And while she didn't respect Miss Sullivan, Layla managed to keep her snarky remarks to a minimum. Of course, she still giggled when the baddie instructor said something she didn't agree with, but that was just how Layla was. My other classes went as usual, though Miss Yura's voice grew more tolerable as the week continued. Still, I was going to be grateful when Arwen returned and reclaimed the class from the monotonous substitute. Syra spent most of her downtime with Freya, and the curly-haired, mocha-skinned summoner kept the Hawk Princess occupied when she wasn't attending classes. The extra attention seemed to improve Freya's mood greatly, which helped ease some of my stress. Meanwhile, Dio found his calling as Freya's honorary mouse catcher, and I caught the miniature saber-toothed cat carrying bundles of squirming mice into Freya's room on more than one occasion.
"Hey, don't knock it till you try it," he told me with a glint in his eye. "Mice are delicious."
While I still felt a little squeamish about my wife's new eating habits, I was happy to lend her my familiar, and Dio seemed to enjoy the attention he received when Freya happily accepted his kills. Finally, Saturday arrived, and the house was bustling with noise and activity before the sun had even risen. So I laid in my bed for a few extra minutes and tried to enjoy a moment of peace before I had to enter the war zone. Layla laid beside me, and the cute summoner snored lightly as she dreamed. I cuddled her warm, naked body closer to me, nestled my face into her soft auburn hair, and remembered the pleasurable night of lovemaking we'd enjoyed before we'd fallen asleep. Then our moment of bliss was interrupted by a rough knock on the door.
"Griff!"
Nia called out on the other side of the door. I groaned. While I loved Nia with all of my heart, I really wanted the chance to sleep in before I was given any tasks. But this dinner party was important to my wife, and I wanted to make her as happy as I possibly could. So I carefully maneuvered around Layla, crept over to the door, and opened it to see Nia. The elementalist had her long pale hair pulled back into a knot at the top of her head, and her bright blue eyes were clear and focused. "Good morning," I greeted, and offered the mage a sleepy smile. Nia returned the smile, but then she began to fill me in on her plans for the day at a rapid pace.
"So we'll need to pick up the cake at noon, and I've arranged for someone to bring by the floral arrangements at 2. My parents will be arriving at 7, and I'll need you bathed and dressed by 6:30 so you can be ready to greet them at the door."
"Nia, take a breath," I ordered as I grasped my wife's shoulders to steady her. "This is a dinner party, not a second wedding. Try to relax." Nia took a long, deep breath as I instructed, and then she gave me an apologetic look.
"Sorry, I've never hosted a party at my own house before," she admitted. "I'm nervous about how the rest of my family will react to our home, and I want everything to be perfect."
"Everything is going to be amazing," I promised, as I gave her another smile and rubbed my hands down her slender shoulders. "You and the others have been working hard to make everything great. Your parents are going to love it. Just remember, we're here to have fun."
"Fun,"
Nia repeated with a nod. I leaned forward and kissed her deeply, and my wife's tense shoulders finally relaxed. "Give me just a few minutes, and I'll be yours to command," I laughed lightly.
"Thank you, Griff,"
she whispered.
"You always know just the right thing to say."
I gave Nia one last kiss, and then I returned to the room to get dressed. I gently nudged Layla's huddled-up form, and the summoner let out a long groan as she stirred.
"I don't wanna,"
she whined with her voice muffled by the sheets.
Come on, sleepyhead, I urged. We have to go help Nia.
Ugh,
Layla groaned.
Will there at least be breakfast?
Yes, I laughed.
Fine.
Layla sat up and stretched, and her small yet proportionate breasts looked extra pert with the motion. Then she caught me staring at her perfect golden-skinned body and licked her lips mischievously. Didn't get enough last night? I snickered.
I can always use a second or third to 20th helping of your cock,
my sassy friend shrugged, and it did all sorts of wonderful things to her body. Maybe after this dinner, I purred. We have work to do.
Who needs work when we can play instead?
Layla murmured seductively, and she spread her legs just enough to tease me. You're going to be the death of me, Bethel, I growled, and I crossed over and scooped Layla into my arms. The mage wrapped her legs around my waist and her arms around my neck, and she pressed her lips against me aggressively. So I gripped her tight little ass in my hands and squeezed lightly, which made Layla moan in pleasure. With our lips still connected, the sensation was incredible, and my lower half stiffened. It took my all to pull away from the gorgeous brunette, and Layla pouted as I set her back onto the bed. Don't look at me like that, I laughed. We fucked some 6 or 7 times last night.
But you can't get me all hot and bothered and then make me stop,
she complained, and her hazel eyes were wide with disappointment.
It's not fair, Griffy.
Trust me, Layla. It's hard for me as well, I promised.
It certainly is,
Layla winked, and I laughed at her innuendo. Tonight, after the Kinefix leave, we can pick up where we left off. Perhaps one of the other girls could join us?
Deal,
Layla agreed, and the petite mage dragged herself out of bed and left to go change. I dressed myself in a simple tunic and a pair of slightly beat-up trousers, and then I made my way downstairs to help Nia. I greeted the ashen-haired mage with a kiss when I found her in the kitchen a few minutes later, and the mage put me to work immediately. Just off the foyer sat the formal dining room, and much like the rest of the elaborate mansion, the room was immaculately decorated. The walls were painted a shimmering pearlescent white, and lined with bright gold trim with tall arched windows that provided a picturesque view of the well-manicured backyard and forest area beyond the lawn. The recessed ceiling featured a gilded pattern the same color as the trim, and it housed a chandelier that was even more extravagant than the one in the upstairs bathroom. An enormous white and gold table laid at the center of the room, and it was surrounded by velvet padded white and cerulean chairs. Aaron and I were put to work, and we arranged plates and cutlery at every seat. The orange-haired pilot had a great eye for detail, and managed to create identical table settings at each chair, while I struggled to line the silverware up uniformly. I felt a little out of my element, but Aaron patiently showed me an easier method of arrangement, and I was able to match her layout in no time at all. Once we completed the task, we admired our handiwork and high-fived each other in celebration. Not too bad for a farm boy from the wilds, I laughed.
The Kinefix and the Maddoxes are going to be super impressed,
Aaron gushed, and the lovely mimic gave me a quick peck on the lips. Her magic tingled on my tongue, and I enjoyed the exhilarating taste of it. Nia stopped by to check in on us, and my gorgeous wife's jaw dropped as she glanced around the room.
Maker, you two should forget about the military and go into the catering business,
she complimented, and Aaron's amber eyes grew bright. Hey, Aaron deserves all the credit for this one, I said, and held my hands up. It wouldn't have turned out this nice if it hadn't been for her direction. Aaron grinned at the praise, and after one last look at our handiwork, Nia ushered us along to our next task. After the mansion was sufficiently scrubbed, polished, and decorated with fresh blooms, Nia sent everyone upstairs to bathe and get changed, while she and Freya finished prepping for the evening's meal. I gratefully took the opportunity to scrub myself clean. I'd worked up quite the sweat,
and wanted to look and smell as great as possible for my women and in-laws. After I sufficiently washed off the day's grime and combed my hair neatly, I returned to my bedroom to find a change of clothes already laid out on my bed. I smiled. This was definitely Nia's doing. The clothes were finer than my usual garments, and they consisted of a pair of pressed black pants, a pale gray button-down shirt, and a charcoal vest with silver trim and buttons. There was even a tiny velvet bow tie for Dio, and I tied it around the miniature saber-toothed cat's neck before he could object. Finally, I put on my nice boots and even sprayed on an expensive cologne that Nia had gifted to me after our wedding. The slightly spicy scent wasn't overpowering, but gave me an added boost of sophistication. After one last glance in the mirror, I descended down the spiral staircase to the first floor. Syra and Aaron were holed up in the sitting room, and the two beauties smiled at me when I walked in. Syra had arranged her curly hair into a messy updo, and dark tendrils framed her face prettily. Her chocolate brown eyes were smoky with coal and framed by long dark eyelashes, and she wore a sleeveless marigold-colored dress that glowed like sunshine against her dark skin. The dress was cut tastefully, but showed a perfect hint of her cleavage and showcased her lean legs. Aaron was clad in a deep violet gown with long bell sleeves and an incredibly short skirt with a hint of black lace at the bottom. Her vibrant orange hair was parted to the side, and half of it was pinned back by sparkling black clips that glittered in the light. Her cheeks were pink with rouge, and her eyelashes were painted as dark as Syra's. "You two look..." I trailed off, and the girls giggled.
"Thanks, Griff," Syra purred. "You're looking pretty cute yourself."
"Aw, look at Dio's little toy!"
Aaron exclaimed as Dio poked his head out of my pouch. The little cat monster sprang out, jumped into her lap, and began to purr as the mimic scratched behind his ear.
"And speaking of cute,"
a voice announced behind me. I turned around to see Layla strut into the room. The petite summoner wore a fitted forest green dress that flared out just above her knees. The bodice of the dress featured a cutout near the top that revealed a sliver of Layla's pert breasts, and her golden skin shimmered with some kind of glittery lotion. Her auburn hair gently waved to her shoulders, and her lips were painted a pretty shade of cinnamon. "Wow," I breathed, and Layla grinned mischievously.
"You look amazing, Layla,"
Syra complimented with a raised eyebrow.
"Seriously, girl, you look perfect,"
Aaron agreed.
"Oh, stop, you gotta make me cry my makeup off,"
Layla laughed as she waved her hand in front of her face.
"And Nia would be pissed if I ruined a dinner party by looking like a melted candle."
We all cracked up at that, and then I saw another figure head down the stairs. This time, it was Freya, and my hawk wife looked every inch a princess as she descended toward us. Her normally wild hair was tamed into perfect waves, and the locks shone like silk as they spilled onto her porcelain shoulders. The green tint of sickness was gone from her face, and her fair skin glowed like moonlight against her floor-length dark red dress. The garment hugged her body like a second skin, and I took notice of her newly curvier frame as she moved. Her lips were the same garnet color as her dress, and her head was tilted up in a regal way. Her gold-flecked brown eyes glittered as they met mine, and my heart stuttered in my chest.
"Micah, you know how to make a girl envious,"
Layla breathed as she assessed Freya.
"No jealousy to be had, little Layla,"
Freya argued.
"You are looking beautiful like bride, and other sister wives look lovely as well. Our husband will have difficulty to not fill you all with his powerful seed at the dinner table."
"That would definitely change the tone of this party," I laughed, and the other women joined me. Freya's head tilted in her bird-like way, but she smiled anyways.
"Let's circle back to that plane later,"
Aaron said with a wink.
"I say we all retire to the hot springs after this,"
Syra suggested.
and then determine who has the biggest bed and pile into it. Can we just skip the party and do that instead?
Layla proposed. We could, I smirked. But then you'd miss out on all the amazing food.
Oh, fuck no,
Layla proclaimed as her brow furrowed severely.
Never mind. 60 times can wait until later. A girl's gotta eat.
We all laughed more at Layla's outburst. And then there was a soft knock on the wall as Nia entered the sitting room. Nia's outfit was the perfect complement to mine. Her dress was the same silver as the trim of my vest, with a neckline that rested just off her milky white shoulders and made a perfect V at her full breasts. The silhouette flowed straight to the ground, but a long slit ran up her upper thigh and revealed the perfect amount of long, lean leg. Nia also wore strappy black heels that lengthened her lithe body even further, and her ashen hair hung loose down her back.
Maker,
I breathed, and my heart skipped a beat in my chest. Nia's cheeks flushed.
Does this look all right?
You look more than all right, I complimented, and I got up from my seat and took Nia's hand. You look stunning.
Mecha, Nia! You make the rest of us look like box trolls!
Syra laughed.
Oh, stop!
Nia waved her off.
Everyone looks incredible tonight. You are all so beautiful and lovely. Thank you all for helping me pull this together. I really appreciate having all of you in my life.
It was no trouble at all, I assured her. Then I looked around at all of my gorgeous lovers, and I couldn't stop smiling. Each was beautiful in her own way, and I was easily the luckiest man in all of Mistral to have such an amazing group of women in my life. Now that everyone was downstairs, we readied ourselves for our guests. Nia, Aaron, and Freya went to check on the food, and Layla and Syra waited with me to greet our guests as they arrived. Layla fussed about Dio, and the saber-toothed cat looked thrilled by the attention. Galahar, Nerissa, and Navith Kinefic arrived first, just as Nia had predicted, and my new father-in-law looked every bit the Grand Mage in a perfectly tailored black suit and gold shoulder cape. Mrs. Kinefic was a timeless beauty, and the sight of her clad in a flowing gold dress made me grateful that Nia had inherited her mother's looks. With her delicate face, rounded cheeks, and ashen hair, Mrs. Kinefic was just an older version of Nia, but with enormous doll-like green eyes. Galahar greeted me with a firm handshake that he smoothly transitioned into a hearty hug.
So good to see you again, son,
he greeted me happily. Great to see you too, sir, I hugged back. And then the Grand Mage noticed Nia enter the room and pulled his daughter in for a hug as well. Nerissa offered me a brilliant smile and a small hug. We hadn't had a chance to interact much with each other aside from the wedding, but Nia's mother made me feel extremely comfortable. Finally, Nia's brother Navith greeted me as a brother would, and he grinned as he gave me a hug and slap on the back. How's it going, Griff? The ashen-haired water elementalist asked, and his bright blue eyes were full of mirth. Navith had been an integral part of my bachelor party, and the night had truly brought us together as friends.
Going great. We're glad you could make it, I grinned back at Navith.
Nayra and Geheim arrived next with their son Nako in tow. Layla had answered the doorbell when it rang, and she squealed at the sight of baby Nako in Nayra's arms.
Hi, baby!
She greeted the infant, and Nako's bewildered face lit up at the sight of the petite summoner.
Should we just drop the baby off and leave?
Geheim Maddox asked with a hearty chuckle.
We could really use a night off.
Gawain's cousin had the same fine golden features and bright emerald eyes as the Fire Mage, but on Geheim, they were kind rather than haughty.
Hi, Nayra, I greeted my sister-in-law, and Nayra pulled me in for an embrace.
Hey, Griff, are you taking good care of my sister?
She inquired with a laugh.
Of course he is,
Nia spoke up. And she grinned at me and then back at her sister. Nayra was nearly identical in appearance to Nia,
and shared the same brilliant blue eyes and ashen hair of the Kinnifex siblings. The only discernible differences lied in her slightly deeper blue irises, more defined cheekbones, and taller physique. But other than that, the sisters could have passed for twins.
You two are practically glowing,
Nayra complimented us.
Marriage suits you.
Thank you, Nayra. I smiled as heat rose to my cheeks, and I wrapped my arms around Nia's shoulders.
Now that everyone's hugged, can we go eat?
Layla brought up as she started to bounce on her toes. We laughed at the brunette summoner's excitement, and then we all headed toward the formal dining room to take our seats. While we'd been upstairs getting ready, Nia had outfitted the room with dozens of candles and vases of fresh ivory roses framed by exquisite greenery. The food had already been arranged at the table, too, and the room was filled with a dozen delicious scents. We all took our seats at the table. Galahar sat at the head of the table, with Nerissa and Navith on either side of him. Nia sat beside Navith, and I beside her. Aaron, Syra, and Layla sat across on the other side of the table beside Nayra and Giheim. And Nako was perched in a structured infant seat beside his parents and Freya. Nia and the other women had crafted a meal worthy of royalty, and we all hungrily feasted on garlic and herb-crusted chicken, a green leaf salad, roasted rosemary carrots, mashed sweet potatoes, and thick-crusted bread with fresh butter.
Nia, this is absolutely delicious,
Nerissa complimented as she dabbed at her mouth with a napkin.
Thank you, Mother,
Nia said in a humble tone, and a smile rose up on her face.
Truly, my daughter, this is delicious,
Galahar agreed.
It wasn't all my doing, Nia pointed out. Freya was an excellent assistant, and she showed me how to properly spice everything.
It was no trouble at all,
Freya spoke up, and her stoic expression vanished as she grinned at the compliment.
My mother taught me, and now I teach Nia.
Everyone ate happily, even little Nako, who managed to get sweet potato all the way up into his hair, and the girls had nothing but praise for the child.
He's just so cute,
Layla gushed, and she watched Nako with her chin resting in her delicate hands.
Absolutely darling,
Syra agreed with a dreamy sigh. Giheim shot me a teasing glance from across the table.
You're definitely in for some trouble,
he laughed as he watched the girls fawn over his infant son.
I thought they had it bad at the wedding, but Nako has definitely taken them hostage.
Mika, I'd have one right now if I could,
Syra mused.
And what about you and Nia?
Nerissa asked me with an elegant raise of her eyebrows.
When will you two begin starting a family?
Nia flushed red, and I grabbed her hand under the table.
We would love to start a family, I spoke for us. But right now, we want to focus on our studies.
While that wasn't entirely true, the answer seemed to satisfy Nia's mother enough to move on from the subject of Nia having babies.
And how are you faring, Freya of Hawk Clan?
Galahar asked Freya with a twinkle in his eyes. The Grand Mage was fascinated with my Hawk wife, and Freya seemed to share similar sentiments about Nia's father.
I am well,
Freya said, and her stoic expression brightened.
And my fledgling is growing stronger by the day.
I have to say, the way you stood up to the aunts at the wedding was inspiring.
Galahar smirked.
No one has ever had the courage to go toe-to-toe with Decima Kinnifex, especially in public.
Freya considered Galahar's words, and then she shrugged.
I defend myself. The woman is rude, and I do not like rumors and insults.
Well, you certainly caused a commotion,
Galahar laughed.
But in the best way possible.
Well, it was pretty funny to see Aunt Decima's face turn purple,
Navith snickered.
The old bat needed to be knocked down a notch.
We recounted some stories from the wedding, and once everyone had finished eating dinner, Nia and Syra disappeared into the kitchen to retrieve dessert.
Meanwhile, Freya cooed over Nako, and the infant appeared to be transfixed by the warrior princess's attention. He laughed an adorable giggle as Freya tickled his tummy, and Layla observed the two with a wide grin on her cute face. A few minutes later, Nia and Syra returned with an enormous platter that housed an equally large cake atop it, and they carefully placed it in the center of the table.
Maker, I'm ready to destroy that cake!
Layla practically drooled as she eyed the dessert from her seat. It was a beautifully crafted honey cake laden with strawberries and blackberries, with a rich vanilla glaze that streamed over the top.
Keep it in your pants, Bethel,
Cyrus snickered, much to the amusement of everyone at the table. Nia served everyone a slice, and we all happily consumed the delicious dessert. Then, Syra, Aaron, and Layla talked amongst themselves as the Kennefix and Maddoxes started a conversation with Nia and me.
So, are you and Nia taking a honeymoon?
Nayra asked as she tried to feed a squirming Nako in her lap.
Once we're on winter break, I nodded. We want to wait until the semester is through.
A wise plan, Galahar agreed.
Actually, Father, we were thinking of going to Adorna,
Nia brought up, and the Grand Mage's face lit up at the idea.
Adorna is a lovely village, he praised. I've never had an unpleasant stay. It would be a fine place for a honeymoon. I'll write down some places for you to visit while you're there.
If it has your approval, it must be great, I smiled.
Speaking of travel, Nia sighed, I'm sad you all have to leave. It's been so nice to see everyone.
I'm sorry we have to leave so soon, Galahar apologized. But I have urgent business to get back to in Hartmire, and your mother and Navith have some renovations to oversee back in Saluna.
I understand, Father,
Nia smiled.
Once the weather improves, you'll have to come and visit Navith and I up north,
Nerissa said.
How much longer will you be up there?
Nia wondered with a slight tilt of her head. Nerissa had fled with Navith to an oceanside property after the attack on Hartmire Enclave, and the two had remained there ever since.
It's hard to say right now,
Nerissa admitted as her brow crinkled.
But I would like to return to Hartmire as soon as possible.
We'll be sure to visit before you leave, I promised. I would love another chance to see the ocean.
With our bellies full of delicious food, everyone retired to the living room to continue chatting. Freya, Layla, Aaron, and Syra doted over Nako, while Nia chatted with her mother and siblings, and I lingered in the doorway and watched everyone socialize with a big smile on my face. It was nice to see my unconventional family spend quality time together. Suddenly, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I turned around to see Galahar behind me.
Griff, may I speak with you in private for a moment?
He asked in a serious tone.
Of course, I nodded, and the two of us retreated down the hall into the sitting room.
I closed the twin doors behind us and took a seat in a leather armchair across from Galahar, and a lump rose in my throat as I waited for my father-in-law to speak.
Don't look so afraid, son, Galahar laughed. You aren't in trouble.
That's a relief.
I let go of the breath I was holding and relaxed in my seat.
I mean, I didn't think I'd done anything wrong, but there's always a voice in my head that suggests otherwise.
Oh no, Griff, you haven't done anything wrong. In fact, quite the opposite, the Grand Mage began. I've been thinking long and hard about the future of Mistral, and the changes that need to be made in order to further our development. The members of the Council agree that in order to keep us from slipping back into the old ways, we need to work toward fortifying our numbers. Your efforts with the Arkans in the southern continents have not gone unnoticed, nor have your impressive battle tactics. The Council could use more progressive thinkers such as yourself.
Thank you, sir, I said with a modest nod.
I should be thanking you, Galahar stated firmly. If it weren't for your leadership and strategy, the Arkans would be wreaking havoc on us all. and while the threat of more Arkans appearing is imminent, I firmly believe that with you on our side, we are more equipped than ever to handle whatever threats fall into our laps next."
The Grand Mage took a deep breath and went on before I could respond.
"All of this is to say, I have a proposition for you, Griff of Njorden Falls,"
Gallahar said, and he sat forward in his seat.
"Once you graduate from the academy, I would like to bring you on as my right-hand man. I could use someone like you at my side. Someone I can trust completely. Someone who has Mistral's best interests in mind. So what do you say, Griff? Will you be my advisor?"